This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery life right now? I sometimes find myself feeling a little drained after meeting up with groups of people, even my best friends. I can't quite put my finger on why that is. I know I didn't always feel that way, but it can be easy sometimes to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Dialing in and finding the right balance is going to be different for each person, whether you're somebody who thrives around people or if you prefer more alone time. Either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is not just for people who've experienced major traumas. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and the service is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a quick questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily for Monday, March 13th, 2023. On today's episode of the show, we are going to be talking about the 95th Annual Academy Awards. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi.
BJ, you were part of the editorial team who was actually working during the Oscars last night. How are you feeling right now?
I'm so tired.
I suspected as much.
But it was exciting. It was stressful, but it was the good kind of stress because it's, you know, one of the biggest nights of the year for our industry. So that was very exciting. I definitely got trapped in a rideshare on my way home to work the Oscars with somebody who exclusively for an hour and a half wanted to talk about the slap from last year. So it was really nice to have the Oscars happen. And I think we can now officially put that in the rear view.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's a good place to start. What did you think about Jimmy Kimmel as the host? I think he was brought back as sort of a steadying hand, you know, after the events of last year. He handled himself pretty well after the 2017, I guess, Oscar ceremony where the La La Land Moonlight debacle happened. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Jimmy Kimmel and like the sort of inevitable callbacks to the slap the year before?
So Jimmy Kimmel as a host never really works for me, and maybe that's a personal thing for me, but he did exactly what I expected, which is that some of the jokes were pretty good. A lot of them were just eye rolling and kind of cringy and didn't really work for me. Overall, it was a very like inoffensive, very middle of the road sort of hosting gig or performance, I should say. I think that he made one too many comments to the slap. I think one, like you just needed one to like, you know, address the elephant in the room and then mm-hmm. move on. And the fact that it kept coming up, I was like, did the writers just not have material? Like what's happening here? Because we do know there, you know, there's a writing staff. This isn't just Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. But it was fine. Like he kind of felt like set dressing to me because the most interesting parts of the show were what is the word for it? The thank you speeches, the acceptance speeches. There we go. Mm-hmm. I know how words work.
Yeah. I mean, I guess generally broadly find him to be pretty good at the job of a host because he doesn't annoy me a lot. Some of the jokes definitely did not land, but that's less about him and his like delivery of them or like his stage presence as a person than it is about, like you said, the writing team and sort of what they mm-hmm. decided to come up with on that night. I thought he did a pretty good job. I really, really, really loved the intro of the show, like the opening montage. It showed a ton of behind the scenes stuff. And like, they had that moment that you've probably seen, you know, circulating on Twitter and stuff of like those clips from Avatar that are like side by side of the performance mm-hmm. capture. And then like the actors with the dots on their face. So I thought it did a great job of like bringing people into the show and sort of pulling back the curtain a little bit and telling people, hey, this is how, you know, showing people, I guess, this is how these movies are made. And I was really hoping that spirit would be present throughout the whole night, because I think that's a really cool opportunity. Like you said, it's Hollywood's biggest night. It's a cool opportunity for people who make movies all year to show people who only go to two or three movies a year how this stuff is actually done. There's a ton of the viewership of the Oscars, I would guess, are not slash film readers, do not know how mm-hmm. movies are made. So like the idea that they could use that as a platform to educate people in a fun way. It was a cool idea. And I love that intro. And it just sort of didn't really do that throughout the whole thing, which I found to be a little bit of a bummer. But I liked that at least it sort of started off on the right foot in that way. And I actually like thought that the ceremony overall, like as a broadcast, yes, it was long. The Oscars are always long. But I thought it was pretty good, like pretty enjoyable. What did you think about the whole experience of, beginning to end the whole night?
There were a lot of little things scattered throughout that I really enjoyed. And I think that it's because they seem to be based in that opening montage. So they started the ceremony with the Best Animated Feature Award. And what I really appreciated is that they took the time to essentially apologize without saying they were apologizing for last year's debacle of referring to animation as like something that only kids enjoy and it's like a slog for adults to get through. And instead, you know, Dwayne Johnson is like, yeah, no, animation is kind of the core of film. It's some of the earliest, you know, records of the medium we have, and it's really important. And, you know, obviously Guillermo wins and he says the same thing, and it's mm-hmm. kind of debunking these thoughts a lot of people have about animation, which I thought was really great. And as silly as it sounds, I think one of the car companies did a car commercial about how safe their cars are and then used it to talk about stunt performers mm-hmm. and like all the hard work they do. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then when we got to, you know, best editing, you, on the people on the screen, you had, you know, different actors, one using like digital editing, one doing the old method of, you know, literally cutting and pasting. And I was like, I love that. I love that they're showcasing how not just how the process works, but also how the process has evolved. I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. Those commercials were surprisingly cool. I really enjoyed that, which is something I never thought I would say about commercials. And right. The whole vibe I thought was much nicer than last year. There were several moments last year where it sort of seemed like people, the people making the show, like almost didn't want to be there. They were kind of like being self-deprecating is the wrong word, but like almost actively hostile in some times to mm-hmm. to certain corners of the industry. And I thought that the exact opposite was happening. Well, I guess there was like that one shot about Babylon not making money and like mm-hmm. maybe a couple little jokes here and there. But I think more broadly, I think the vibes in the room, that sort of like, appreciation of the art form seemed more genuine to me this year than it has in years past. Like Jimmy Kimmel even went out of his way to like name check The Woman King and Till. He didn't have to do that. You know, they didn't have mm-hmm. to say anything about those movies, but he seemed genuine when he was like, these movies are worth your time. I encourage you to check them out. Like that's the kind of stuff that should be in the Oscars all the time. Even if movies don't get nominated, use it as a recommendation engine, use it as a platform to, you know, put those types of movies in front of millions of people's eyes if they haven't heard of them before. So I don't know. I thought there were several things like that kind of where I was like, oh, okay, Oscars, like not bad here. So
yeah, it felt very celebratory. I mean, they even had the moment where they were highlighting all of the work of the Academy Museum, which if anybody is ever in the LA area, I highly recommend going to the Academy Museum because it is genuinely phenomenal, and it kind of takes your breath away being surrounded by all of it. And so to see them highlight, you know, the education and what the Academy provides outside of just an award show, I thought was really important, because I don't think people realize that there's more to the Academy than just the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And in years past, it's been kind of eye rolling because they were developing that museum for so long that it feels like in previous ceremonies, they'd be like, we're still building the Academy Museum. And there would just be like, mm-hmm. you know, footage of construction. And like, you know, they would take 3 minutes out of the show to talk about what they were going to do. And it kind of was like, all right, move this along. Like, let's go. But now that they actually have concrete, tangible things that they can point to and footage that they can show. And yeah, it's become, you know, sort of a, not just a tourist destination, but like people who live in LA can go and check it out. And like, it seems like a really cool place. I've not been yet, but I'm looking forward to checking it out one day. Okay, so the one thing that I thought was maybe the weirdest aspect of the night was the Disney Warner Brothers thing that you probably know what I'm talking about, BJ.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
a moment
what
where
the hell?
I don't know. There's a moment where Morgan, or wait, I guess first it was Halle Bailey and Melissa McCarthy came out to present what I thought was an award, but ended up just being the trailer for The Little Mermaid, because those two are in the new version of The Little Mermaid. On the surface, you know, like, I guess, uncynically, that's cool. I actually like the idea of, like I said, using the Oscars, this night where, you know, all eyes are on Hollywood to show off what's coming next. That idea makes a ton of sense to me. It should be like the Super Bowl where there are, you know, trailers for upcoming movies and like get people excited, you know, bring them in that way by saying, we're going to show the first look at XYZ during the Oscar ceremony. That makes all the sense in the world. The actual execution of what actually went on last night, though, was very much not that. It was Disney saying, here's the first look at The Little Mermaid. And like Disney owns ABC, which is where the Oscars were being broadcast. So, and they didn't mention that. So it feels a little weird. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, well, the only way that this works is if every other movie studio gets their time to shine during this presentation, during this ceremony, which would be cool. And I would, you know, appreciate seeing a great montage of all these, different studios movies over the years. I love a good montage. So then that happens with Warner Brothers, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then that's it for the whole rest of the night. Like, no Paramount, no Sony, no MGM, no nothing. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So it just felt like this bizarre sort of half completed thought that was just abandoned midway through the show. And I'm just like, I want to read the investigative report about, you know, how this decision happened. And like, did Warner Brothers pay ABC to be able to showcase its own material there? And like, they weren't even promoting anything new. So like, what the hell was going on there? What were you and the team thinking about that moment as it happened, like live last night?
It was so when it first happened and it was the commercial, we all kind of had the same thought of, oh, well, that's interesting. I hope everybody else gets their turn. And then obviously that didn't happen. And we're like, oh, okay. So Disney's just advertising their own product because they happen to own the network that is showing the Oscars. Okay. And it also felt very strange with the Warner Brothers stuff, considering how much stuff David Zaslav has canceled or gotten rid of in recent years, where now it's like, look at all of the movies we make. And we're like, how about the movies that you get rid of for tax purposes? Mm-hmm. Because maybe we should be celebrating movies and not corporations.
Yeah. Yeah. Super weird. So the only other couple things that I had on our list of things to talk about, well, actually, before we do that, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, so the best original songs, the performances that were happening spread throughout the night. This is the mainstay of the Oscars. This is not anything new. I've probably said this in years past, but I'm just like, I kind of feel like these performances grind the night to a halt a little bit. I mean, it's great that Rihanna and, you know, David Byrne and Lady Gaga and people like that are up there and performing. It just seems, I don't know, there's something, self-indulgent feels like the wrong word, but it just doesn't feel like the celebration of movies as much in those moments when the music takes when the songs take full center stage, I guess. That being said, I loved the Natu Natu performance. So what do you make of the idea of, like, every year we're just trotting these people out and we're going to do these, whatever, 3-minute song performances spread throughout the night? And then I guess a sub question is, what did you think of Natu Natu specifically?
So I am of two minds about it. I think the major problem we run into is because I love the idea of the musical performances in an award show, which are customary to be the nominees for Best Original Song. The problem, though, is that a majority of the time, the songs that are nominated for Best Original Song are ballads. So that's why the night suddenly slows down, because it's like, oh, we're excited. Here's a really deep, emotional, moving song from a pivotal part of a movie where something really intense is happening. And it just, like, brings the energy down a bit. Which is why having something like Natu Natu is so exciting and so refreshing, because it is upbeat, it is exciting, it is colorful, and it feels celebratory. And that's really, really exciting to me. As far as the actual performance is concerned, I have not the best feelings about a lot of the dancers being people from, like, So You Think You Can Dance and not, like, actual Southeast Asian performers, because I feel like that is such a major part of the importance of RRR, and to just kind of ignore that feels weird. But at the same time, like, all of the dancers were doing a fantastic job. I think the choreography was really smart and how they incorporated the original choreography into this piece. I loved seeing a full chorus line doing the hook step. That was great. I think it was a little bit of a letdown to not have the stars actually on stage, because it kind of feels like, oh, can we get Natu Natu? Oh, we already have Natu Natu at home. That's kind of how it felt for me. And especially knowing that they were all dressed up in there, I'm like, wait, just let them be on stage.
Yeah.
But it was solid. And I'm glad that the actual, like, musicians got to be up there as well and, you know, sing the piece they made famous. And it was fun. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I, like you said, that energy that it brought, it was such a shot in the arm for the show. I really loved that. And it was so cool when they actually won, when the songwriters and the people behind the song actually won, and then they sang their acceptance speech. I was like, has anyone ever done this before? This sounds like, it seems
and
like
they
we're breaking
sang
new
it to the tune of the Carpenters, which was such a delight.
Yes, great stuff. Okay, so somehow we've gone this entire time without actually saying the words Everything Everywhere All at Once yet, which is astonishing. But this movie is unbelievable. I cannot believe, BJ, that this movie of all movies has become not only the Best Picture winner, but one of the most dominant Oscar movies of all time. If you had said this to me, you know, last year in March when this movie premiered at South by Southwest, I don't think anybody would have believed you, because it's just such an unlikely Best Picture winner. What did you make of like the almost complete dominance of Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I'm thrilled, like genuinely thrilled about it for so many reasons. And one of the big one is that this will hopefully inspire studios to take chances on original, creative, weird sort of movies, because that's what Everything Everywhere All at Once is. I mean, when I saw it in the theaters, I saw it very, very early, like opening weekend. And I remember thinking, oh, it's similar to Swiss Army Man. This is going to be one of the best movies of the year. And no one's going to talk about it because it's so weird. But then everybody started talking about it. And it's like, oh, is it time? Like, is sicko time finally happening? Are we finally getting our day in the sun? And it's been exciting to see how many people have just resonated with this movie, because on paper, you're absolutely right. Like, nothing about this movie screams Oscar winning. I saw last night Rachel Talalay, who worked on like Tank Girl. She talked about how there was a scene in Tank Girl where she had like dildos in her bedroom and they made her cut it. And then she ended up in director's jail and all these things happened. And now one of the most dominant Best Picture movies ever has a dildo fight scene in it and a butt plug fight scene in it. And it's like, that's amazing. Like, that is... It's such a testament to how movies have changed and our appreciation, and our as in like general public appreciation, has evolved so much. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Best Actress for Michelle Yeoh. That was incredible. The first Asian woman to win this award, which obviously super long time coming, but like, it's so great to see Michelle Yeoh take this prize, because she's been, you know, such a force for so many years. And I think the narrative for months has been, or had been, that Cate Blanchett was a lock for Tar, and she's like unreal in that movie. But I feel like Cate Blanchett is going to have other times where, you know, she's going to win Best Actress. That it doesn't seem too controversial to say that. And
I mean, she's Michelle Yeoh twice.
Yeah, exactly. And Michelle Yeoh, like, it just felt like the right time, you know. And the fact that she won, and then Ke Huy Quan also won, which like, I was actually like tearing up on my couch watching his acceptance speech. Like, so, I mean, even though he's just been winning award after award after award for what feels like months now, man, just wild stuff for them. And that movie and the Daniels winning Best Screenplay and Best Director, and then also Best Picture at the end of the night. I mean, it's just like, yeah, this incredible sort of ascension for this movie. I guess the one thing I'm so torn, as I expect you are too, about Best Supporting Actress, Jamie Lee Curtis. What do you make of that win?
So, yeah, I do have complicated feelings about it, because obviously I am a Jamie Lee Curtis stan, have been, always will be. But I am also a stan of Angela Bassett and Stephanie Hsu and Carrie Condon. Like, it was such an intense category. I feel that this is the award of the night, and this is me speaking from my personal feelings, that this was the one award of the night where it felt like the Academy was honoring somebody's body of work and not their individual performance. Because if it was individual performance, it's Angela Bassett or Stephanie Hsu for me. And I'm excited for Jamie. I genuinely am. But that's an award for her whole career, which honestly, overdue for her as well. But it does kind of suck that it feels like it was at the expense of two absolutely like dominant performances from other women of color. I feel like there was like I don't want to say like snubbing, because I don't like that. I think it's more complicated, but my vote for that was Angela. So yeah. I was kind of thinking that she had it in a lock, and then when Jamie got it, I'm obviously excited for her, but I was like, I feel like that was Angela's to lose.
Yeah, my favorite of these supporting performances, which my favorite was Stephanie Hsu, and then the Angela Bassett narrative had been so strong that I was like, okay, I'm like totally cool. Obviously, like, this is great. Angela Bassett is a terrific performer, like, definitely deserves all the accolades that she's getting. And then Jamie Lee Curtis almost like snuck in recently. I think she won the SAG award, and people were like, oh, I think that means that she's going to win the Oscar now. And I don't track this stuff super closely. I'm just sort of like on the periphery of it. And I, you know, as soon as I saw that, I was like, Oh, I mean, I love Jamie Lee Curtis, but like not for this movie, not like this, you know, that quote from The Matrix. You know,
but I mean,
that performance.
Stephanie Hsu got to also perform with David Byrne wearing hot dog fingers for a best original song performance. So
yeah.
I feel like she got some goods to go home with too.
Yeah, a little bit of a win on the night. And then like, you know, it's hard to be real mad about a Jamie Lee Curtis performance winning the Oscar when she gives a speech like that where she, you know, makes it not about herself and brings in, you know, it just has this like spirit of like open generosity and like bringing in all the genre lovers who have supported her career and like talking about, you know, that was just such a cool moment. So I feel like it stings a little bit because it probably, I don't know, should is a weird thing to ascribe meaning to or whatever, ascribe motivation to. But like, I guess if there's one Oscar that I could take away from somebody and then give to somebody else, I would probably take away Jamie Lee Curtis's and give it to Angela Bassett just to sort of make the, I don't know, the movie gods, the everything aligned with the movie gods. But I think like other than that, maybe there's one or two others that I was kind of like, this could have gone either way. But I think the actual winners, like who won the trophies, seemed right to me for the most part. What did you think about, like, you know, we've talked about the show itself. What did you think about like the actual the trajectory of the winners? Like, were you mostly good with them? Did your disappointments outweigh your fist pumping? What did you think?
Overall, I think I only missed like three on my little scorecard that I kept.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Which ones, what I thought was going to win. Like, I was really pushing for my Year of Dicks for animated short. And I was like, there no way in hell is this going to win because of what it's about. But it deserves to win because it's great. Honestly, the only one, and this should be a surprise to absolutely no one who's ever read my work, the one trophy of the night that I have an active disdain for is Best Makeup and Hair going to The Whale, because I think awarding people for making a fat suit is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah.
And that opens its own Pandora's box that I will be writing about it soon for Slash Film, so keep your eyes peeled.
Okay.
So I definitely have beef there. And because of that, then by association, I have mixed feelings about Best Actor, and it's not because Brendan Fraser isn't fantastic. He obviously is. I just think that that movie's despicable. And it's really hard to celebrate his win when it was in a movie that I think is so blatantly offensive and cruel and irredeemable. And it just sucks because a very lovely human performance was just buried in a movie about cruelty.
I guess I should have mentioned that his would have been one that I would give to, I probably would have given that to Colin Farrell, but I wouldn't have been mad if Austin Butler won for Elvis, because I thought he was really good in that movie too. So all of those Best Actor performances were really solid. The Whale thing is just so unfortunate all the way around. It's just like it's just a bad movie. I'm sorry. But also, like, did you catch that moment, BJ, when the Best Makeup and Hair trophy was being awarded, and the announcer, who was like really on one, I don't know what was going on with the sort of like announcer in the room reading little facts about people as they would walk up to the stage. There were some really bizarre line readings and stuff in there. During that win, I think she made some comment about how it was the first movie to, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it was basically like implying that some of this work for the makeup and hair was done digitally. And I'm like, my wife and I were like, isn't that just Best Visual Effects then? Like, how is that the makeup award? I don't know. What was going on there?
Yeah. So that's another reason why I have an issue with it, because part of that fat suit is CGI. Like, it's not all practical. It's practical enhanced with CGI, you know, so that you can get those really exploitive shots that just really hammer home that fatness is disgusting and horrible and grotesque in a horror movie. It's not all practical, which, like, if it was all practical, like, I mean, it's impressive, I guess, but also at the same time, it still isn't impressive because a man of that size would have a chest, and they just chose not to, because apparently giving a man a chest would have you know, red weird or something. I don't know. So instead they just have a very inaccurate look of what a body at that size actually is. So it's like, there were so many problems with it, like not even just like on the ethical level, but on the fact of it's not all makeup and hairstyling.
Yeah.
It's,
and like, it seems like this couldn't possibly be the first movie to use visual effects to enhance hair and makeup. So it was just weird that they called that out specifically, like right as this person is going up to the stage to, or these people were going up to the stage to accept the trophy for this thing. It almost like undercut the importance of, you know, taking the whale of it all out of it, like the undercut the importance of winning a prize for doing work. It's like you're actively telling me right now that this work is not being done in the way that we all thought it was. So I don't know, really, really strange moment there. Another strange thing that I thought was a little weird was the Lady Gaga's performance. Like, first of all, I think there were reports saying that she wasn't going to appear and perform at the Oscars. Or maybe just she wasn't going to perform. And then obviously she did. So I don't know if that was a last second thing or just those earlier reports were wrong. That was a weird thing that I wasn't expecting because I'd read, you know, in like TV line and like legitimate outlets saying like, you know, she's not going to be there or whatever. She's not going to be on stage. And then she was. And then the close-ups on her during that performance, I was like, zoom out, for God's sake. What are you doing? Like, everybody likes to hear Lady Gaga perform, and her voice is, I mean, obviously incredible. But just the presentation of that moment, I thought was super strange. Did that strike you as weird at all?
It was so weird. And it also... like, she had her little introduction where she talks about how the song is really personal to her, and I thought that was really nice, but it definitely, the way they shot it, I was like, am I supposed to be watching this? I feel like I'm eavesdropping onto somebody's, like, very intimate moment right now, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Yes. Okay, so I think we've hit most of the things that I wanted to talk about. Were there any other, I guess, aspects or moments or awards that you wanted to highlight here before we call it a day?
The one thing I really wanted to highlight is every time Daniels took the stage, they made the most of their time in acknowledging all of the people that helped them get to that point, but also the ways in which their film has like a positive impact on the world. I mean, Daniel Schneider talked about, like, he shouted out public school education, which I loved. He shouted out like his parents being supportive of him for being a weirdo and, you know, dressing in drag and how like that's not a threat to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really wonderful. I know the producer of Everything Everywhere All at Once had a little bit of a Freudian slip where he said, you know, no person is worth more than profits. And I clearly meant it to be the other way around, that no profits are worth more than a person. But I really enjoyed that every time they took the stage, they were so appreciative of not just the award that they've received, but all of the people that helped them get to that point. I know their editor was like, this is the second movie I've ever edited, which I love seeing that, because I think we forget that it does take a village for everything and everyone to get to where they are. And they were like, they shouted out moms too, like, so nice. And it was just really a real nice breath of fresh air to hear people like just sincerely value everyone that helped them get to that point. And they've been doing this all award season, which is great. Like, I know they shouted out Drea Clark, who is one of the first people that ever put one of their films in, like programmed one of their short films into a festival that kind of kicked it all off. So the fact that they are that appreciative of the world that helps them make movies is just amazing. And I wish people did that more, where they acknowledged that this isn't like a one-time thing. This isn't a one-person thing. There are so many different moving parts that allow anybody to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said, 100%. And you mentioned the nice angle. That's actually what Danielle Ryan wrote the review of the Oscars ceremony. And her subtitle is, "The cuddly and heartfelt ceremony was nice, actually." So I'm going to link to that.
Yeah, it was so nice.
Yeah. I'm going to link to that in the show notes. And I'll put a link to the complete list of winners. And we have a bunch of stuff. Like, I'll drop those in there. And you can dive deep into our Oscars coverage, which BJ was helping to spearhead. And man, you guys like just killed it. There's a ton of great stuff up on slashfilm.com right now. Even if you've listened to this conversation, there are a lot of things that we didn't touch on that we did in written form. So I encourage you all to go over there and check that out. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Here's something that we almost never do anymore. BJ, where can people find you online? How about that?
Oh my gosh. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at BJ Colangelo.
All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ben Pears. And yes, you can find more about a lot of the stuff that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com and linked inside the show notes for this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, all the popular podcast apps. Please subscribe to our newsletter, send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at peter@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, spread the word. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.